Welcome to the Sonic Truth Podcast. This week, we welcome Marty Michael, co-founder of HeadGum and Gumball. He talks about the process and tactics that are making podcast advertising both future-proof and more efficient than ever before. Welcome again to the Sonic Truth.
Welcome to the Sonic Truth Podcast. Today, we have Marty Michael here with us from HeadGum and Gumball. Marty, welcome.
Thanks. How you doing?
Good, good. So just before we dive in, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got here today.
Cool. So my background is actually in digital ad sales. Before I started this company with two of my friends, we were all working at a website called College Humor, and I was selling a lot of branded content there. So the thing that I was seeing the most success with was tapping into creators on the platform and having them deliver a brand message in their voice in a format that was familiar to their audience. At College Humor, it was video. And as we became closer friends, two of the creators there and myself, they had a podcast that existed outside of College Humor. I started helping them sell that. And what I realized really quickly was they were delivering a very similarly formatted ad in their podcast, but there were two main differences. One was at College Humor, it would cost about $500,000 and take about 3 months to produce the ad. And in the podcast world, it was $2,000 and would take less than 24 hours to produce the ad. So a light bulb went off for me pretty quickly. That was, man, once bigger brands like P&G and Coca-Cola figure out that there's this much more efficient vehicle in podcasting to deliver a very similarly formatted ad, there's going to be a massive influx of dollars to this space. So I asked, their names are Jake and Amir, the creators from College Humor. They have over a billion views on YouTube. I asked them, I said, hey, look, we should start a podcast network. We should ask your family and friends to start shows, and we should plant our flag in the comedy space. And so we did that. In August of 2015, we launched with 10 shows, maybe 500,000 listens a month, most of which came from If I Were You, which was our flagship show with Jake and Amir. And from there, we grew, and we grew really quickly. I mean, we hit this in stride. And I talk about this a lot, but I had an idea for what I wanted to accomplish in the space with the power of this HostRed unit, but I didn't know the timing was going to be so right. So that it was it's definitely a mix of what I was hoping, but also the unknown of the boom of the space in general. So we grew to like 30 shows, 10 million downloads a month pretty quickly. And along that process or that growth cycle, I also realized that we had a really difficult problem in front of us, which was to scale this HostRed ad. It was a very manual process and took a lot of time from the people that were on our team. You have to get the RFP from the brand. You have to source the shows that match that RFP. You then have to wait for the advertiser to tell you which of the shows you sourced are ones that are good fit for them. Then you have to find available dates for those shows. Then you have to go into a contract phase. Then you have to get the ad copy. Then you have to get the air check. And then the cycle is complete. You have to invoice and then collect on the payment. Everything I just said would typically take 3 to 4 weeks and a lot of lift, manual lift. So I had an idea to bring a lot of the scalable solutions that existed in digital that I had been used to and build them here within podcasting specifically for HostRed advertising. We tapped Andrew Pyle, who worked at Vimeo at the time. He was the CTO there. He has a lot of experience in building very scalable solutions in the digital space. He's also a huge fan of podcasting, and Vimeo just happened to be a sister company of College Humor, so we were all friends prior to this endeavor. He joined us, and we started building Gumball. So Gumball is our HostRed advertising marketplace. It's designed to connect podcasters and advertisers and automate all the processes that I just talked about. And with Gumball, we can do all of that in 30 seconds. So it's a marketplace that allows buyers to come in, see available inventory in real time, because we standardized the unit itself. So you can actually see all the different units that are available on a weekly basis for each individual show. You can add those spots to your cart. You can check out with a credit card, and then it notifies the podcasters that an ad has been purchased on their show. So it literally provides all of the transparency and clarity to a buyer that they never had previously, that you would have typically had to wait on emails back and forth for a long time. So our business has gone through a lot of different iterations here, but you know, we were originally a comedy podcast network, and we've migrated to now be a very scalable solution for brands and for podcasters to connect with host-read advertising through Gumball.fm.
Just out of curiosity, where is that comedy network?
It still exists, and it's a very opportunistic business. So we still have a little over 30 shows that exist on HeadGum. We have a nice mix of original content and network content that makes up the 10 million plus listeners that we get a month. And it really was a critical component and continues to be a critical component to the success of Gumball. Because you can launch a marketplace, but if there's nothing for an advertiser to buy, why would they ever need to utilize it? And so we had a huge advantage launching Gumball with that content.
With that built in.
Yeah, we had 30 plus shows and 250 plus advertisers. I mean, we've been around for 6 years as a network. So we were one of the original places that if a brand wanted to come and buy podcast ads, HeadGum was one of the places they had to stop because there just weren't a ton of places to shop. Now what we've transitioned into is a destination in which you can buy much more than comedy. So that comedy exists on the platform, and we use Gumball to sell everything. We use Gumball to sell our HeadGum shows, and we use Gumball to sell our independent shows too. And so we've gone from like roughly 30 shows on the platform to over 150, and that over the last like 6 to 8 months. And we've also taken the total available impressions on the platform from like 25 million to 50 million. So we've grown pretty drastically over that time period.
Awesome. So can you talk for a second about, just taking a little bit of a step back, so the host-read ad, right? The host-read ad is a really interesting animal, and it's a very powerful communication tool, and a very, you know, for a reason, an expensive ad, right? It's someone who already has an audience or someone that's already invested. They're kind of doing this custom ad for you, and it can hold a lot of value, but it's a very difficult thing to scale, right? And just, you know, in my life at Veritonic over the last, you know, 5 years, it's like, okay, look. How do host red ads scale? How do host red ads scale? How does this work? What are the solutions for this? It'll be a never ending question, and you're taking a huge chunk out of this. So, explain a little bit how you're still harnessing that value of a host red ad, but doing it in a way where it can scale more broadly across a bunch of different places. So, if I'm a brand and I want that host red ad experience, how can I still get that value, but still do it in more places than I could before? I know that you know, it seems obvious probably to you, but imagine like, you know, a brand listening to this podcast or an advertising, you know, a buyer of ads, like, you know, knows nothing about it. So give us the basic description.
Yeah. I mean, I think first we have to address what the challenges are, right? So why is this a difficult thing to scale? And I think one of the main reasons is that everyone does it differently. Even within certain networks, they do it differently. So like when you go to we'll call it network A, not us. You have too many options in how you can buy host-read ads. Like you could buy a month's worth of impressions. You can buy a week's worth of impressions. You can buy 2.5 weeks worth of impressions. That isn't a scalable solution because it puts too much onus of the buying on the buyer to make decisions in which they want to be able to come in and be able to see a simple way to buy and be able to process that decision making at scale rather than on a show level. So one of the most critical things that we did out of the gate was we took a look at the best ways to standardize the host red unit so that we could sell it across, I mean, we have 150 plus now, but thousands of shows ultimately that will be on the platform. So what we decided was that depending on the frequency of the show, and for us, most of our shows are weekly, so they come out on a certain day of the week, we were going to sell the impressions weekly, meaning you're going to get a drop date when the episode is dropping. So let's say your show drops on Monday, you're going to get the ad started on Monday when that episode drops, and it's going to run for a week until the next episode drops. And so those impressions that happen during that week, and for most of our shows, they are delivered dynamically. So it happens across the newest episode plus the back catalog for that week. That is the same for all the shows that you're looking at within the platform. So that was like a huge part of what we did. We basically standardized this unit so that no matter what you're clicking on to add to your cart, like a very e-commerce experience, it's all the same. And you know that it's going to be the same across every single show that you're looking at. That was like a huge part of what helped us scale the opportunity itself. And then I think if you take a step further back from there, there's just the challenges of you're working with hundreds of individual shows on any given campaign. And so you need the tools to be able to not only compare those apples to apples when you're talking about what you're buying, but also what's being delivered. So you need all that information organized in one place so that you can easily access whatever you need in real time and not have to wait for people to respond to emails from 8 different places and gather that information on your side and then put it into some sort of Excel. We built a platform that keeps all of that very organized in an automated fashion, all within the marketplace. So there are tools for both podcasters and advertisers on their end to be able to accomplish not only the sale of their ad, but also the execution. And so that's a huge part of why we've been able to scale with over 150 shows now.
Right. So once I purchase an ad or a campaign, or you know, I can come in, I can work with the podcaster to I'm assuming you can hear that ad and kind of have that interaction before it goes live, and that all happens in your platform.
Yeah. So the way that it works is that once an ad is purchased, the podcaster then has a short window to deny if they don't want to work with that ad. I mean, the reason being there is that the host is going to be endorsing the product. So if they don't feel comfortable doing that, that's going to be a bad ad experience. So we ultimately give the power to the podcaster to make that decision. Then once that window is passed, then what happens is the advertiser uploads their ad copy, and that ad copy automatically gets relayed over to the podcaster. The podcaster has a dashboard in chronological order of all the ads that they need to read and how much they're going to be paid for those ads, keeping them incentivized to do a really good job. Once they record that ad, they upload the air check, which automatically gets relayed over to the advertiser, which is available to listen to once the ad goes live. So we're not making tweaks before the ad. This is just part of the way the industry works with host read advertising. But I'd say like less than 0.5% of ads are rejected by advertisers.
It's a really interesting dynamic, because you're getting that, you said the word endorsement, and that's something that's hard to get. So what would be your advice, other than go to Gumball? What would be your advice to an advertiser who's just getting started for the very first time? You know, is it as simple as just go to the platform and check it out? Are there some best practices or recommendations you'd make for somebody, you know, looking at this for the very first time?
Well, you touched on something really briefly that I think is really powerful for why people are drawn to this space, which is like, it's an advertiser who listens to one specific show. They love that show's host, and they're like, man, I want to be on that. I want that creator to endorse my product. So that show that we're talking about could have 10,000 listens. It could have 10 million listens a month. It doesn't really matter, because every single one of those listeners feels the same way about that creator as that buyer does. So what I'd ask that buyer to recognize is that every single show that's listed on our platform or any other platform has a set of audience that is as dedicated to that creator as that buyer feels about the show they want to buy. And the experience that I've had with selling podcasts is that once that buyer typically comes in and has like a focal point or a show that they're really interested in, it is easy to explain why that dynamic works across other shows and have a halo effect of that buyer then expanding outside of that one interested show and buying more shows at scale. So I think the experience of that first thrill of getting your favorite creator to talk about your product, I try and explain that is the case for any show, because all of their listeners are that enthralled with the hosts or the creators of the show.
Right. No, so yeah, there are people like you, but they like different things. And that's a great point. So two more questions for you. So the last one about the product, and then want to ask a little bit about the future and what you're working on. You know, what does success look like? You know, what is a great success story, or how do you measure success? What's a campaign look like, or you know, somebody doing a host read ad that in the rearview mirror was a resounding success? How do you track that? How do you look at that?
So ultimately what we're trying to do is make this process as easy as possible for both sides of the funnel, which means we need to make more products for podcasters to make their experience more favorable on the platform. And we also need to do the same for advertisers. So we've done a really, really, really nice job of connecting the two in the point of sale. And we felt like that was a really important piece for us to hone in on, because it was one that felt very archaic to us in the way that it used to be done. Now that we've kind of mastered that and we're seeing that we're able to scale that up on both sides, what we really want to do is provide more tools to both those sides. So we have things like, you know, you and I were talking about, like building in tools to help with the quality of the ad reads to ensure that the product that we're delivering is not only being delivered, but is really, really good. And then on like the podcaster side, we want to build tools to help them cross promote with other shows on the platform and help them grow their shows, because that seems to be one of the largest challenges that creators are up against. So just as a sample, those are two things that we're, you know, really excited about bringing to the table in the near future. We basically, you know, on the creator side, we have an entire marketplace that advertisers already have access to. We're basically going to turn that on for our creators, and so they can request and match with other creators on the platform to do free ad exchanges. So we have a lot on the roadmap, but I think honestly, it's all about providing value to the people who are using the platform.
Once you reduce the friction, right? That's the biggest challenge that you're solving for now on a lot of levels. And you saw this with things like search advertising and you know, other mediums. But once that friction's gone, then it's about effectiveness and, you know, optimization and some of these other things. And but the hard part is a lot of what you're doing now. So keep doing that. So just, you know, before we go, as people follow you and follow your business, you know, what are some things that we can look forward to? Any big milestones coming up?
We recently raised money. So this will be the first time I'm really talking about it publicly, but we raised a Series A. We raised $10 million. We set out to raise $8 million, and the excitement from investors was more than we anticipated, which is extremely exciting. Our lead investors are Union Square Ventures, which led our seed round 2 years ago, and then also Good Friends, which are the founders of Harry's, Warby Parker, and Allbirds, three brands that fully understand the value of a host read advertisement and were huge components of how they built their businesses. So we're so excited to have them on board and their stamp of approval to what we're doing. We're going to be utilizing that capital to build faster. Basically, what we just talked about with the tools for both sides of the funnel, we need to be able to activate on those much more quickly than we currently can. Our engineering team is currently Andrew Pyle, who's our CTO, and we need to get people underneath him ASAP. Andrew was the CTO at Vimeo for 10 plus years. He's very well qualified to be working on this, and he's very excited to get more qualified people underneath him to help him build faster. So that we're really excited about that in the next, I mean, we're going to probably double the team in the next 3 months, which is really exciting for me too.
Congratulations. And I think that's top tier investor, tremendous validation, and, you know, the capital to go out and solve a big problem. And this is a big problem to solve. And, you know, advertisers as well as the podcasting community is going to benefit, you know, from this, you know, as you're successful. So that's a fantastic milestone. And I think it's, you know, it's on some level, it's about raising money, but on a more important level, it's about the validation and support you're getting to go after this, because there's a lot of people who will benefit from it. And from a recruiting standpoint, you know, I don't know if you're hiring only on the West Coast, but we'll put the word out for hiring. So if you're listening to this and you're looking for a job in audio, you know who to call.
Yeah, you can find all of our jobs listed on headgum.com/jobs. And we have offices in Los Angeles and New York. So we are looking for candidates in both. And with the current state of the world, we are open to remote candidates as well. But we're just really excited about the traction we have right now. And I think with the fundraise, what it really is just more validation on the fact that what we built works and it's working really well. And we're super excited to continue to help creators make as much money as possible and for advertisers to be able to work within one ecosystem to scale what they need to within the space.